This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Some people say midwinter is the most depressing time of year, when cold and dark days, holiday bills, and already lapsed New Year resolutions catch up with us. Whether you believe that or not, it's never a bad time to reflect on how time-of-year stresses and opportunities can affect your mental health. HereToHelp.bc.ca, British Columbia's nationally acclaimed website on mental health and substance use, offers 8 tips to winterproof your mental well-being.
I spoke earlier this week with Sarah Hamid Balma. She's the Mental Health Promotion Director at the British Columbia Division of the Canadian Mental Health Association, or CMHA for short. We talked about the 8 tips to winterproof your mental health, but I first asked Sarah about the theory that the most depressing day of the year is the Monday of the third week in January. It's been called Blue Monday. The term was coined by a British psychologist who claimed to have devised a formula that suggests more people are likely to feel more down on that particular day than at any other time of the year. And yes, it's apparently due to factors such as broken New Year's resolutions and dismal weather. Here's what Sarah had to say.
Well, there's a lot of controversy about whether or not that's true, and it really, really actually doesn't matter. But we do know that, you know, the days are cold, you still have more darkness than we'd like. The bills are all coming in from the holidays. New Year's resolutions have sometimes gone out the window. So, for a lot of reasons, people think this, you know, this isn't the most energetic and mental health promoting time of year. And whether you believe that or not, it's never a bad time to think about, whether, you have any particular stresses or things going on at times of year that, good to check your mental health out.
So it's never a bad time of the year to focus on mental well-being. And even though it's mid-February right now as we broadcast, winter seems to be waning, but spring hasn't arrived yet. The first 2 winterproofing tips have to do with moving and with light. I also asked Sarah if there's a difference between daylight and sunshine. And what about overcast days?
Probably the first couple are, most of them are very commonsensical, but we often forget about those when we think about mental health. The first one is actually around exercise, and that tends to be in the news a lot because of physical health resolutions that people have to get fit and lose weight, things like that. But most people forget that actually moving your body and getting outdoors, even to move your body or with people, has huge benefits for our mental well-being and our emotional well-being. There's lots of research that confirms that it reduces anxiety, lifts mood, reduces stress, and it's really important if you have a mental illness, and it's even important if you're at risk or just feeling a particular amount of stress in your life. So we definitely recommend that exercise be on your list for mental health reasons too. And the other big one, which goes together actually with exercise, is getting as much daylight as you can. And we're not too far away from changing the clocks, but it never hurts to get some fresh air and to get as much natural daylight, not sun tanning beds, but natural daylight as you can. And if you can do it with another person, even better. From what I've heard from the experts who work in seasonal affective disorder, it's daylight. So yeah, it's not sunshine, and that's really an important distinction. Getting out when it's bright and daytime, even if it's overcast. We know we can get catch sun. They recommend sunscreen when it's cloudy. So we know that we're getting daylight when we go outside. So, yeah, I think it's really important to make that distinction.
We're sharing the 8 tips to winterproofing your mental health. Kevin spoke earlier this week with Sarah Hamid Balma from the Canadian Mental Health Association about this. So the first 2 tips were about moving and getting exposure to daylight. Here are the next 2 tips, and they're related to isolation and hibernation.
Another big one, and maybe this is even the biggest risk factor people face, is in winter, it can be really tempting to kind of you know, shut yourself up inside, and often that's related to weather. And if you do it too often, I mean, sometimes it's actually really nice, you know, to curl up with a good book and around the fireplace and get cozy, you know, with loved ones. But if you do it too often and you sort of just stay inside too often, you can tend to isolate yourself from other people. And we do know that connecting with other people is a huge, huge boost to mental well-being. It's one of the biggest ones, social support. So we don't want to be, you know, avoiding some of those social contacts so that we can stay inside. And yeah, of course, the more you isolate, the more you'll feel worse, and then you'll want to isolate more, and it's a vicious sort of cycle. So the other sort of two points are around the face-to-face connection is really important. We have a lot of people who do connect a lot virtually, and that can absolutely have a role as well. But that there's nothing that will replace face-to-face connection. And if this doesn't apply to you, you don't avoid going out for walks or coffee or whatever it is with your friends and family. You might have, you know, older adults or people who are single in your networks who actually are the ones who are shutting themselves up. So if this doesn't apply to you, think of people you care about who might be isolating themselves and see if you can reach out to them. And the one related to this is around sort of hibernating, which can be related to isolating. Sometimes we isolate because we want to sleep more. But we tend to be a little more lethargic in winter, and we tend to favor, you know, a little bit more of the carbohydrates and might feel like sleeping more. So you want to make sure you have enough sleep. But you also don't want to oversleep and nap too often, which can really disrupt your sleep routine. And you want to try to get up at the same time every day, even on weekends, which is really hard. But it's really important, actually, for your energy levels and your mood.
8 tips for winterproofing your mental health. We've heard the first 4 tips. It's about moving, a.k.a. exercise, getting sufficient exposure to daylight, not isolating, and curbing the tendency to hibernate. And Ashta, you know what's next? Eating and drinking. Here's Sarah Hamid Balma.
Yeah, and people forget that diet, they tend to only think of it in terms of how it affects their physical health. But most of us know that when we eat good food, we feel better. And when we eat low-nutrient food, we feel okay in the short term and not so good in the long term. So first around hydration, one is water. This can be really dry time of year, and we know that in terms of our skin and other things and nosebleeds. But we also forget that, again, water is really, really good for our brain, and it can prevent headaches. It can improve our energy and concentration. So, definitely drinking lots of water and not waiting until you're thirsty to drink, because when we're thirsty, we're actually a little bit dehydrated already. And remembering some of the other liquids that we tend to favor and just keeping them in moderation. So watching our alcohol intake. Alcohol is a depressant on the system, so if you're already prone to depression, you want to be careful around alcohol on too much of it. And the caffeine, so coffee, tea, hot chocolate, again, wonderful in winter now and again. If you're overdoing it, if you're already prone to anxiety or problems with sleep or anything like that, too much caffeine is going to be a problem. So that's around hydration to remember. And then around diet, again, people tend to think about comfort food at this time of year, and actually a lot of comfort food is really good for you, but some of it can be really carbohydrate rich and not full of a lot of nutrients. So if you overdose on some of the carbohydrates, you know, obviously it doesn't just affect your waist. It can really deplete your energy and your mood. And then, of course, you tend to sleep more, isolate more, and all those other tips. Everything's interconnected. The more we isolate, the more we oversleep, the less we're going to exercise, the less we're going to drink water, the less we're going to see other people. So all of these things tend to link in together and make us feel worse or better.
Now, winterproofing your mental health is also tied up with resolutions made and resolutions broken. And from what I gather, a lot of this January blahs in particular, the January blahs are linked to resolutions as they fall by the wayside. So what to do about lapsed resolutions?
I think that's one of the major things that was connected to this psychologist, I think, in the U.S. who came up with this most depressing day of the year, most depressing week of the year. Was really around when New Year's resolutions start to lapse, you know, at the end of January. And I guess, you know, our our goal setting is really important. If they're meaningful to you and you're not just doing it because other people think you should do it. But if you have already given up a resolution, and two of the common ones we hear about time and again, of course, to lose weight or to stop smoking, for example, don't sort of despair and think, oh, well, here's something else I failed at, and because that can, you know, that takes a hit to your self-esteem, and that doesn't make you feel good or want to do anything. So we would suggest restarting them by adding a mental health one, because most people who have wanted to, say, lose weight or stop smoking, as often it's a very difficult thing to start. And you'd be surprised that if you added something else that helped you lift your mood, let's say you're like, oh, I really should garden more, or I want to go dancing, or I'm going to see my sister once a week, whatever it happens to be for you, something else that's seemingly unrelated that would lift your mood and your social support and reduce your stress, you actually might find it much easier to then go for the run or to find something else, you know, instead of a cigarette. It's amazing, actually, that if we do things to actually lift our mood and reduce our stress, those other goals are actually much easier.
Sara Hamid-Balma is sharing the 8 tips to winterproofing your mental health. I spoke with her earlier in the week. Sara works with the Canadian Mental Health Association. And though we've taken a lighthearted tone, or somewhat lighthearted tone, through the first 7 tips in this list, we want to add a note of caution as well. Here's tip number 8.
A lot of people talk about sort of the winter blahs and the winter blues, and actually, you know, that's only about 15% of Canadians, when they're asked, say they feel kind of blah in the winter, which isn't actually most Canadians. And even the blahs don't really have a huge impact on our life. Seasonal affective disorder, which gets a lot of press, you know, between October and now, it actually affects very few number of people, like just a couple of percent. So, but if, whether it's seasonal or not, if you haven't been feeling like yourself for several weeks and it's impacting your life, like it is bothering you, it's impacting your ability to go to school or work or your relationships or your sleep or your appetite or the way you think about yourself. And, you know, it's not just a bad day or a couple of bad days. And it's not an obvious sort of cause. You didn't just lose a loved one or something like that. It might be something more serious that you need support for. So it's important to get, you know, get checked out by your doctor, rule out other reasons. And then we would really suggest people visit our website at heretohelp.bc.ca for other resources on getting help, doing a screening self-test, reading personal stories from other people. And yeah, just getting connected and getting a bit more informed.
Those are the 8 tips to winterproofing your mental health. Sara Hamid-Balma is the Mental Health Promotion Director at the British Columbia Division of the Canadian Mental Health Association.
And if you want more tips to improve your personal well-being or your loved one's well-being, or more information on managing mental health and substance use problems, you can visit the new and improved Here to Help website at heretohelp.bc.ca. The site features hundreds of personal stories, tip sheets, fact sheets, workbooks, discussion forums, event listings, screening self-tests, and material in languages other than English. It's all free, made in British Columbia, and based on good evidence.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.